If you've been paying attention, you recognize that we've talked about four different attributes that humans have that could be very dangerous if used wrong. A dear friend of mine asked the question because they were concerned, because they knew one of those traits is very strong in them, and they were saying, well, does that mean I'm headed to hell because of them? But the answer is, of course not. What are those traits I'm talking about? Well, we're talking about emotional, intellectual, cultural, and ignorance. Now, those four traits are very strong. What I'm not saying is not to have them, because all humans have them, if we like them or not. Some we weigh more on and some we do not. What we're saying is we should never be defined by any of those four, which encompass everything else, but we need to be known as spiritual. That's the key that we're trying to put out. In fact, those four traits, once again, emotional, intellectual, cultural, and ignorance, are all God-given traits. So the question comes up, how then could something given to us by God be dangerous at times? See, this is what's so important, and it's what I need us to grasp. I think at times, when I was younger, I used to have some of the older guys, when they were getting high and things of that sort, use the comment, well, marijuana comes from the earth and God gave it to us. So if he didn't want us to smoke it, then why would he give it to us? Now, the older I got, the more foolish I've known that statement is, but you'd be surprised how people use statements like that, how we take something from God, and because it's from God, we use that as license to use it any way we want. That's why we're doing this order by steps, though it's from God. Something from God, we have to recognize, is not just important that it's from God, but how we use it. I'm going to start off with a story in the Old Testament, which kind of displays this. And then I'm going to use those four traits, those four characteristics, show how they're from God. And then we're going to get a characteristic of how you can use them dangerously. And then we'll close it up with what we need to do. First of all, as our example, God provided a sacred fix to help his people in the time of need. We see this in Numbers 21, starting at verse 4. We're going to read 4 through 9. Numbers 21, 4 through 9. It says, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? So you hear the people starting to complain on this journey God has taken them on. Once again, this symbolizes our spiritual life, and we start complaining to God instead of, once again, just talking to God. They started complaining, there is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. So that's complaining. I mean, they're not saying, hey, God, we're struggling or anything. They're just now complaining about it. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. And this is where repentance comes in, where we recognize what I'm doing wrong. Unfortunately, we're not doing that today. We're fussing, we're complaining. That's a whole nother Bible study, but I just want you to see the similarities of then that we're doing now. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So that's their repentance. God, we know we sinned. Please forgive us. Please stop this. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it up on a pole. Now, I put that in bold so you recognize that this is something God ordained. This is instruction from God that human is just being the vessel to follow through. Okay? If Moses would have done anything else, it probably wouldn't have worked. So he did exactly what he says. He says, anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So he actually took a snake. Now, remember, snake is usually a bad image, but this is what God told him to. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Sacred symbolism that God put in place that was used a particular way. Praise God. Okay, people messed up. They repented. God saved them in his way. But watch this. Unfortunately, later, people use the God-provided item the wrong way. Very important. 2 Kings 18, 1 through 4. It says, in the third year of Uzziah, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Now, he's one of the better kings. you know, the ones that did things right in the sight of God, unlike the other ones who did evil in the sight of God. It says in verse 2, he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places. High places were the places where they went to worship other gods. And other kings allowed it. Some even endorsed it. But he removed them. Okay, some made the mistakes as kings when they came in, still allowing them to exist. They didn't endorse it and they would tell people to stop, but they still allowed them to exist. He removed them. And watch what he did here. He smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. All of those are idolatry forms of worship. They're worshiping other gods, okay? And that's horrendous. God hates that, as we see. But watch this. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. So now they took this thing that God made and started worshiping it. Why did he break it apart? Because that's not what God made it for. Do you see this? In the same way, today we're taking certain things representing or that we think are from God and use them incorrectly. You see a lot of this in the Catholic Church when they make these statues and people bow down to the statues, what they've done with Mary, what they've done with people, with some of the older Christians that have died, and they worship, they pray to. That's very dangerous because we're taking these things of God and we're dealing with them the wrong way. That's the key. It's not that we're dealing with things of God, it's how we're dealing with them. When you deal with purpose, and your purpose is God, it's not just what you deal with, it's how you deal with it. So let's look at examples of how God-given items, not used as God intended, can cause major problems. First of all, ignorance. There are times ignorance is part of God's will. He says clearly in Deuteronomy 29:29, he says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So in our lives, there are going to be things we just don't know. We'll see them happening, and they're not going to make sense now, and we're not going to get an answer now. Now, once again, you'll get somebody who will tell you why. You won't know where to get their answer. Please be careful of that. If they can't support their answer using God's word, yeah, you want to be a little skeptical of what they're saying. He says the secret things belong to God. It says, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So give them what the Bible says, what the Holy Spirit gives, that we may follow all the words of this law. So what he's showing there is the things that I give you, I need you not only to know those things, I need you to give them to your families, to your descendants, so on and so forth. But he says the things I don't give you, they're not meant for you. You see in Psalms where David is inspired to say, in Job, where Job is inspired to say, I was dealing with things that were too wonderful for me. They were beyond my understanding. This is why that endorsed statement from parents should be, because I said so sometimes. You know, you see a little kid and they look at you with those eyes when you tell them something, they go, why? And they don't understand. It's not time for you to sit down and try to get them to understand. That's where they have to understand. Because I said so. That reverence that you're instilling in them so they have the same reverence for God, because there are going to be some secret things God's just not telling us. And it's for a godly, which is a good, purpose. So ignorance, very good here. This is one time I want ignorance. This is that endorsed ignorance that God gives us. However, living in ignorance based on self distance people from God. Now, one thing you're going to see a trait here, it's going to be when we use that characteristic, how we use it. So it's going to be based on what we use it for. Okay. It says in 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had, watch this, when you lived in ignorance. Now, what he's saying is before a person accepted Christ, we were living in ignorance. There are things we're doing based on self, based on a whole lot of other traits. We got scientists, we got experiences, we got traditions that we've been doing that we think are working. And we start applying those things. And he says, don't start doing that again. And unfortunately, you see Christians do that today, which we're resorting back to comfortable ways. We're looking at how things look like they're working and we're doing them. Ignorance. Remember, because God is the way. So if I'm doing it any other way, I'm going the wrong way. He says, but just as he who called you is holy, that means like God, so be holy in all you do. Be godly in all you do. Be and do it fully based on God, whatever you do. Main reason today, especially going through this election year, one reason why we're so distorted is because we're not following godly ways, we're following manly ways. And one group's manly ways goes one way, and another group's manly ways goes another way. And we ignorantly follow that instead of going, which way is in line with God? He says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Christians have a responsibility to be on the same page. And the reason why we're not is not because those people aren't listening to you or you're not listening to those people. It's because we're both not listening to God. Very important. Ignorance, used wrong, puts us in the wrong way. Let's look at another one. Emotions. Emotions are great as long as you are in control, not your emotions. You have to be the one in control. That's what you have to understand. But when it says you have to be in control, I still have to stress, for God. Look what he says in Galatians 4, 17 through 18. He says, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. Remember, only God is good. So it's saying these people are trying to get you emotionally riled, but it's not based on God. Another perfect thing for this time. With all the situations going on, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm emotionally riled one way or the other. Either it makes me angry or it makes me excited, and that should not matter. Some things bother me when I see them. Some things I'm comfortable with when I see them. Doesn't matter. All has to be, is it in line with God? Like he said, but for no good. And look what he says. He said, what they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. What Satan's job is to do is to get you excited about something else in order to get you away from God. And he says in verse 18, it is fine to be zealous. So that passion, that emotion is fine. It's great. Absolutely nothing wrong with emotion itself. Watch this. Provided the purpose is good. So I can allow my emotions to run as long as it's in line and with God. It has to be God purposed. See, what emotions shouldn't be is a way I should go. What emotions should be is where I'm at. Show is a sign of where I'm at. Think of it as a thermometer, what my temperature is. So if I'm excited about something I read in God's word, okay, good. And that trait, my mind is focused on the wrong thing. But if I find myself being discouraged or frustrated at something God says, it just lets me know, Keith, see, you're pointing in the wrong way. So be careful, because Satan's going to try to use that. And that's why he says, and to be so always, and not just when I'm with you. It's somebody that does this despite how they feel. So emotions just lets me know where I'm at in reference to where I'm supposed to be. All right. So God gave us emotions to be used for good. Now here's the danger. When we are led by our emotions based on us, we live opposite of God. So when I'm emotionally led, that's how Satan leads me away. He says in Galatians 5, 16 through 17, so I say, live by the Spirit. Now I'm going to stop there because like I said earlier, remember I said those lees, you know, emotionally, intellectually, culturally, ignorantly, are where we're never supposed to live. Never, ever. They're never supposed to be the foundation that we live. I'm always supposed to be spiritually. So then those leads can be put under that. So spiritually, I live in, I show my intellect. Spiritually, I know when to be ignorant. Spiritually, I keep control of my emotions. Spiritually, I work within my culture. Do y'all get this? Okay, that's why he starts in saying, live by the Spirit. If you notice, this is a command, and look at the protection, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, the significance of that is our emotions are led by our flesh or our sinful nature. Okay, so our emotions are triggered by something I desire, fully based on me. And if the me is not fully focused on God, there's going to be stuff I want which are not in line with God. The most holiest people that you think down here have desires that are not in line with God. And when they put their guard down, you don't know how many times I've seen people who really follow God's word go astray in the wrong relationships, end up getting caught up in a sin that they have no business doing.
you know, end up following traits and practices that are of something else. Why? Because it hit a desire. It gave them a moment of feeling. It's no different than a person who uses a drug and it hits that dopamine in their minds. They're led astray. It hits that desire. But if I'm spiritual, I only do what God said, not what I see. And he tells us in verse 17, for the sinful nature, or the flesh, desires what is contrary to the spirit. Did y'all catch that? So if I let my emotions be triggered by my sinful nature or me, it's always going to go against what the spirit wants, even when it's doing the same thing. Why then? You'll say, well, then if it's doing the same thing, isn't that great? Well, no. When my flesh wants something, it's for me. When the spirit wants something, it's for God. I never want to do something for me. I want to live 100% for God. Do y'all get this? So when my emotions are led, I want them to be looking at the spirit, never at me. He says, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. If you notice, he didn't say at times, he said period, because the one serves me, I'm never to be served, right? So that you do not know what you want to, so that you do not do what you want. So in other words, the desire is not a me doing what I want life. I know people that I'll explain something clearly out of God's word, but you can see that desire in their eyes and they're looking at me with, yeah, whatever, I'm still going to do what I want to do. That's fine, but it's your choice. Y'all get this? Emotionally led because you feel passionate about something. Your passion is meaningless if it's not for God. Y'all get this? So the problem's not the passion. Problem is the purpose for the passion. A third one, look at cultural. Now, cultures are made by God also. In fact, they're supposed to be celebrated. Acts 17, 26 to 27 says, from one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek, watch this, him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now, here's the problem. Because we start catering more to the self or flesh, we've taken culture as almost a level of pride or a level of insult. It's unfortunate today. And people, if you say it out loud or if you feel it, it exists. And I'm sorry, it's a terrible thing. There are some that thinks my culture is what's called the greater culture. Look at what we did in history. Look at what we did in life. And all that's distorted. And you got the other culture going, man, we have failed every kind. Look at what we didn't do in history. Look what we did in life. Once again, that's all distorted. And you would see one leaves out the bad, one leaves in the good. We demean one, we uplift the other. All of these are very dangerous. And not realizing in every case, when I exalt one and when I insult the other one, all the more, I'm going against God. Every case, when I go against any culture, I'm disrespecting God. I'm talking about race. I'm talking about location. I'm talking about time. All of those, he says here, he created. How dare we say one is better, one is worse, one is more dangerous? There's purpose and reason for all the above. And if when you go deep into all of them, you'll see. And you'll see all are just as evil as the other. And they're evil not because of what God made. They're evil because of what we did. He made all of them for us to come to him. But because we cater to self is where we messed up. Culture is never to play a part. Now, don't get it wrong here. There's nothing wrong with me saying, hey, part of my heritage is probably from Africa. You know what I mean? I happen to live in America and I love the country I live in. All that stuff is nice. You can say that stuff, but you can't be in love with your country because he says friendship with the world is hatred towards God. I got to say, I thank God because this one I'm in happens to be a more comfortable one at certain times, so on and so forth. I can say that. But the minute it becomes a sense of pride or where I came from, you know, my heritage came from Adam, wherever that was from. And that came from God. That's it. That's all I need to know. But But if I find a pride in Africa, or somebody finds a pride in Europe, or somebody finds a pride in Asia, you have been misled. You are now distorted. And when you talk about other groups incorrectly, either if you exalt them or if you lower them, you're insulting God. Culture, it was never meant to be a guiding point away from us. There are actually hate groups out there that go to church and they worship in their hate, not realizing they're headed to hell. I can't make that any clearer. When they demean another group, not a group's action against God, but another group based on them, headed to hell. So that warning has to be out there. So understand here, our culture was never meant to define us. We must only be defined from Christ. This is Colossians 2, verse 8. He said, see to it. This is a warning. He said, you better make sure of this. Make sure of what? See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies. Like I said earlier, a lot of the stuff that we either have pride in or we have either have shame in, there's something missing. I just remember going through American history. And a lot of stuff I learned, it was frustrating because, you know, at the time I didn't understand, you know, about slavery and the Holocaust and some of the things in history and the wars. I didn't get everything. And then I took these other courses when I went to college. There were some side history courses that I had to take, and I'm glad I took them because they showed me things that history wasn't teaching me. And I found out government purposely did that, and all governments do this, and America's included, to shine a better light on the place you're living in. To shine a better light on those who are in charge. So you miss the negatives. And I started to learn some negatives of people and things, but I also learned positive of people and things that I thought were all negative. And you start learning and seeing things, and you're like, wait a minute. And it opens your eyes. Because other than that, I would have been basing my history on hollow and deceptive philosophies. I would have been lost taking what I didn't know. Once again, half-truths. And what he says, the only way I can work, because these which depend on human traditions and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. See, Christ taught me truth. So I recognize there are things I don't know. I see situations and either I'm going, wow, that's great. Or I go, man, that's horrible. And that's where I end it. I go, I don't know. I don't know the whole story on it. So when somebody said, hey, this group is doing this, isn't that horrible? Or, hey, this group is doing this, isn't that great? I'm going, I don't know. Because I don't know everything. And it blows my mind when I know the whole entire story. I've heard people go on to court. And then when I got to hear the whole story, and I counsel, when I hear couples come in and I hear the surface story, I always go, I don't know until I hear the whole story. And Christ makes me hear the whole story. And when I hear the whole story, it shines another light on it. Culture was never been meant to be the foundation. If you are in it, come out of it now. The only culture you are to represent is Christian. Christian. The fourth and final one that's very dangerous if used wrong, but it's a God-given one, is intelligence. Okay? God gave us intelligence for a godly reason. He shows in Proverbs 15, verse 14, the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool feeds on folly. Now, like the other three, Satan has taken these traits and tried to curb them. Now, what curbs them? Whatever you're walking by. So in my intelligence, if I walk by sight, I'm going the wrong way. Intelligence has nothing to do with it. I'm just using a God-given thing the wrong way. You see what I'm saying? I'm worshiping that snake on a stick instead of using it the way God intended it in the beginning. Do y'all get this? So as you see, and this is why it's a struggle, because you do have intellectuals in the science field that are being used to actually go against God. Why? Because they're fully walking by sight, even though they're confused themselves. You hear some of the stories and they go, well, this star is older than the universe. How can that be? You know, and they're saying stuff like that. And they're saying it's exciting, but they always want to move away from God. You have some of them that are moving. Well, it has to be aliens, because they all know the way it's structured. Statistically, this doesn't make sense. Earth does not make sense. You know, oh, just by chance, this happened. No, no. And they know it. But with all that said, their intelligence by sight makes them keep going away from God. So that intelligence is based on flesh. However, intelligence based on God, faith means I'm going to take this intelligence he gave me and now delve into his word. It seeks knowledge. You'll see them studying and knowing the word. Not all caught up in, let me show you how smart I am, but how smart I am in the Lord. It'll humble you to let you know how smart you are not. The most brilliant people are extremely limited when we really get to know God. Do you get this? We're discovering things that are knocking off other traits that we thought in our intelligence. Some brilliant people died with answers that are now being proven wrong. It's just showing us what we don't know. Intelligence always has to be based on and in God, or it will be used incorrectly. As you see, when we rely on our intelligence and not on God, it dangerously distances us from God. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, 18-21, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So now, here's the problem. The church started inviting intelligent through flesh people to run the church. So you get these brilliant people that use these big words and give you a whole lot of historical answers and give you a whole lot of stuff. And they start going, hey, this word here makes no sense. And they start telling you, God wouldn't say that. That's horrible. He wouldn't do that. And in their intelligence, they're saying this is horrible. Like it's it. It's foolishness. Why? Because their focus is not faith. They're perishing. He goes on to say, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We read something that makes no sense and say amen. But if I allow my intelligence to get in the way, I agree with you. You'll look at some of those and go, this makes no sense. It goes on to say, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. And he's doing that now because those who walk in a worldly or fleshly intelligence are becoming frustrated. They're seeing things that, once again, make sense, and it's not working. It's funny because on both sides, you heard on what we call the liberal side, they're like, hey, if you just give money to the poor and keep giving them stuff like that, they're going to come up out of what they are and they're going to thrive. But what we're seeing is just the opposite. The more and more you just give, the more and more they settle, the more and more they're hurt. That didn't work. Then you get those of the conservative side who say, no, we just give more and more money to the rich and it will trickle down and it will take care of those, give more jobs and give people more better, and it will bring people out of poverty. Once again, we've seen the opposite. The rich get more money. They just become more rich. It makes them more greedy, and they take away from those who don't have. So none of those work, but there were intelligent people who created both of those, and they're not working. Why? Because they're using human intelligence. It does not work. He says in verse 20, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? That's what I'm saying. These wise men and scholars have built stuff that was supposed to work. The whole American dream was built off of intelligence. That's failed miserably. And he's saying, where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And it's a shame that it takes some people to see it fail, because they're still walking by sight, before they come to God. And some people, it's going to be too late. He says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached. It's funny here because he's actually calling the word foolishness. But why is he doing it? He's doing that to show us it's going to seem foolish. Remember, I told you, and y'all hear me talk about this many times, and I'm bringing it up again because it seems foolish and others keep bringing it back to me. In 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about hair. And many churches have just ignored that. That's a historical, cultural thing. Ignore it. Why? Because they're actually right. Intellectually, it makes absolutely no sense. But spiritually, I look at that and I go, why is that there? And why? He gave so much on it, so much detail. He explained it. We must do it. It even ends with the letting go. Churches have no other practices. This is what we do. But people still look at it and go, this is foolish. And they'll just, let's push it aside. Let's ignore it. He says, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Here's the key. It only saved those who believe. Did you catch that? Those who believe. Remember, belief is my faith put in action. Those who live based off my faith. If my intelligence gets in the way, I'll still live by how I see it. And I'll do what they're saying. I'll take something that I seem as minuscule and meaningless in the Bible because it makes no sense, like hair. And the men will let their hair grow. And women will cut their hair off. And we'll think nothing of it. But those who believe will go, well, that's what God said. So that's what I'm going to do. Y'all catch this? It's not what. It's the how. That's why I have. It's not just what for God. It's especially how for God. Before we read this verse out of Romans 12, y'all know Galatians 6, where it says a man reaps what he sows, but then it goes into that it's not what you sow or what you plant, okay? It's the purpose you plant it for. Now, when my purpose is right, it'll change the what. Because if my purpose is God, I'll go to God, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And he'll tell me not only what to do, what to use to do it. But my purpose is not God. I'll use anything. I'll go, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? I'll come in next week and say, we're going to use donuts and milkshakes for communion. I don't see a problem with it. And I like donuts and milkshakes. Now, to some, you're like, yeah, what's the big deal? And there are some that are doing it right now. They're, as long as you just do the practice, instead of reading what everything represents and why we do it the way we do it, the purpose makes me look at God and go, oh, this is why he uses this, and this is why he uses this. The bread represents. It's a bread without yeast. The yeast represents sin. That represents Jesus' body. The wine represents, or the wine or the juice from the fruit represents Christ, and it represents his blood. Do y'all get this? He chose the items to use and how to use them. So we then have to live our lives not just the what. If I'm an intelligent person, if I'm an emotional person, it has to be all filtered and done spiritually. How? It says in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer. So this is a choice of something I must do. I must say, here, God, my life is yours. So if I am an intellectual person, or I'm an emotional person, or I'm deep in, I love the culture I'm in, I have to stop and say, okay, God, where I'm at, this is yours. Now, what he's going to do is then take my intelligence, my ignorance, my emotions, and say, okay, this is how you're supposed to use them. Do y'all get this? Then you'll have an intelligent person that won't use their intelligence to ignore God. They'll follow God despite their intelligence. I learned this, but I see what the Bible is saying, so I guess this, what I've learned, has been wrong. That's when a person is spiritual. Man, I felt strong about this certain thing here, and I've always had compassion for this, but I noticed it's not in line with God, so I can't support it anymore. There was on one of the videos I was seeing online, there's a young lady who she said she was a homosexual, and she was very strong about it. When she became a Christian, because somebody explained it to her right, she understands the details of why that lifestyle is wrong. They didn't just beat her up and call her names and say it's horrendous. They showed God said it's wrong. And in no way does she say she didn't still have the desires. What she is saying is, because I realize God said it's wrong, then the answer is it's wrong. Had nothing to do with the desire or the emotion. Do y'all get this? We would readjust our cultures. The hates that we have and the separations we have based on race, that we have based on situations, Christians would be downright ashamed of. Churches wouldn't go, hey, I invite you into my church to be like my culture. Hey, as long as you act like me and accept my music, you would come in and say, we're going to still show you our music. We're going to still feed you our food, but we want you to show us your music and to feed you your food. And we want to blend all of it and celebrate. Some of it we're going to like, some of it we're not going to like. That doesn't matter. All of it is from God. Thank you, God, for it. That's why he says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So why am I doing it? Not because I want to get something from them that I like, but to please God. I'm going to sacrifice my desired food that I usually eat. I'm going to try this food that I normally wouldn't eat. Some of it I'm going to like, some of them I'm not. I'm going to listen to some of the music I normally wouldn't listen to. I try to, even in our church, mix our music. It's hard. I tell the praise team, you got to mix it. If you don't mix it, I'm going to come in. It has to be mixed as much as possible. And I hope I'm doing it. And I do it because some I like, some I don't like. It has nothing to do with what I like. I want to try to show the basis of mixture. It has nothing to do with what you like. It's worshiping God. Only thing I eliminate if it's not worshiping God. That's why it says, watch this, offer your body as a living sacrifice. How? Holy and pleasing to God. He won't do it based on me. I grew up ignorantly young with certain traits of how to worship God. And I thought that was it. So when I would go to another area and I watched them worship differently, I wasn't mad at them because I thought they were wrong. I was mad at them because they weren't doing it my way. Only to come to realize the way they were doing it was wrong, but the way I was doing it was wrong. You'd stop and go, both of us have tainted worship by adding us. And what we should have been doing is worshiping with us filtered through the spiritual. When he says holy and pleasing to God, this is where the Old Testament gives us a physical picture of what he means. I'm going to give you instruction. In that instruction, some things you better do. Other things, I'm going to give you room. So the stuff you better do, do it. The stuff you have room to do it cautiously. Why? Because it's all about you, God. He says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Absolutely nothing wrong with emotional. Absolutely nothing wrong with ignorance. There is nothing wrong with intelligence. And God's the one who provided us culture. All of these things are from God. But absolutely everything is wrong when it's not done God purposed. I'm hoping there is no further misunderstanding because this is going to keep coming up. Because if you really engage and look at your life, that's what's taking us away from God. Those four things used have been used to be the foundation of our walk. And a person who is an emotional Christian, an ignorant Christian, an intellectual Christian, or a cultural Christian is not a Christian. It's only a spiritual Christian who knows how to maintain those things through God. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you once again for all of the traits that you have provided for us and all of the things you have given to us. Help us to be cognizant and to be careful how we use these things, dear God, in a way that's holy and pleasing to you. You show us what that means. So let us do it in the way you mean it. Let us keep others in our prayers based on what you say, not on how we see it. Dear Lord, as we get to the end of this whole season of people and voting and stuff like that, the voting and all that's meaningless and it's so frustrating. What I'm seeing is how the church is so torn apart because people are going more after their desires and not, hey, all, let's sit down and go over what's separating us. We are still blindly thinking the other side is not seeing the right way, not realizing our way is as tainted as theirs. Let us all become one in you, dear Lord, living, leaning upon you spiritually. And let's stop walking and focusing fleshly. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, and all these things we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.